Good morning. I just welcome you guys to come on in, grab a seat, pull up next to someone. I want you guys to turn and say hello to the person next to you. Introduce yourself if you've not. Lord, we thank you so much. You know, it's this amazing thing where you are a Savior King, yet you bring us into a place where we can congregate and worship and fellowship and then grow deeper with one another as well. Lord, and we just want to come into your presence today and just, you know, Lord, speak to us. Challenge us, convict us, encourage us, inspire us, prepare us for anything we have ahead. And we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So you guys know our church, actually, in particular, the English congregation, we're trialing something a little bit different. We're trying to figure out if we can have our church take on this kind of different structure, which I think will hopefully really help one another grow and develop. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at kind of the different elements. And we call them the five C's. It's kind of annoying because there's so many C's, everyone keeps forgetting which one is which. And so it's not that important. But I thought this is as close as I'm going to get to being Singaporean. So let's go with it. The five C's are congregation, community, cultivation, consolidation, and commission. And over the next 5 weeks or so, I'm going to be going through each one of these and talking a little bit about more what it's like. It also means for the first time we've kind of actually started putting together a leadership team and trying to organize things. Obviously, these things take time. I don't move that fast. It takes forever to get meetings together. But, you know, in the long term, I feel like this has a lot of possibility for growth. So if I just briefly go through these, talk about them. Congregation is where we join together to worship, serve, and pray as a church family. Community is where we grow together as communities of grace, accountability, and fellowship. Those are kind of like life groups, smaller pockets. Cultivation is where we strengthen our minds in faith, in learning about God's word. And consolidation is we develop through our personal issues and struggles through coaching, mentoring, and counseling. And commission is where we challenge ourselves to step out of our comfort zones and keep our heart, mind so clear to God's mission and compassion. Those are very loose things I've kind of written, but as we explore and see a little bit more what that's like, you'll have a better understanding of like, oh, okay, this is kind of where it means. The other thing about this is a completely work in progress, so things could change along the way. This is very much pre-beta stage. It's basically alpha stage if you're not sure what we're talking about, but this is like an alpha stage thing. We'll trial it. We go to a beta stage in about 4 years' time. We'll say this is 1.0. At that point, we'll say, I'll talk to other churches and say, you guys are interested? This is kind of what we're doing. Take what you guys want, and this is where we're going. But this is, we're talking about a 4 or 5 year plan. But it's kind of fun because I'm not, I wish I was a programmer, but I'm not. So I'm just going to make our church do this. Okay. So we're going to look at congregation day. What does it mean, the congregation? Okay. And so for most of us, when we think of church, we think of this. We think this is church. Oh, we come here, we sit in these seats, we listen to some guy speak, we sing some songs. It's like karaoke, but not really. And then afterwards, we eat some biscuits and we go off. And that's kind of our picture of church. What I'm trying to say is actually church is much bigger and much broader. It encompasses a lot of different things. And this is just one part of it. Actually, church is, even as Christina is sharing, it's like when you have a chance to pray with one another. Church is in the life of the body of the people. And these five C's are just things to help us say, okay, well, this is a place where we have church, and this is a place where we have church, and this is a place where we have church. And as we get used to that, we say, well, now let's bring church outside into the places around. But today we're going to talk a little bit about congregation. Well, what is the point of this meeting? What is the point of this congregation? Why do we gather together? Aside from biblically, it says, do not give up meeting together as some people do, but keep meeting together. Or encourage each other with spiritual songs and hymns. So we know that's kind of part of it. But what's the purpose of this? And as I was praying and thinking about it, actually, well, I said, there's one psalm in the Bible, Psalm 95, which I think encompasses everything that should kind of happen in this Sunday time, or encompasses what it's about. And so it's Psalm 95. And actually, it's great because it starts off with, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let's come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let's make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he has made it, and his hands formed the dry land. The first thing and the biggest thing about us coming together is coming to glorify God. And the start is, oh, come. And that very first, oh, come, is this call. It is a welcome. And back then in the Old Testament, it would be the trumpet sounding, say, come, now is the time to worship the Lord. For us, the way we look at it is, like, this is where we say, come, welcome. Even if you don't really know God, come. I want you to know him because this is who he is. He is great, and I want to make a joyful sound to him because he is what? He is the rock of our salvation. And if you break this down, let's say the first thing, oh, let us sing to the Lord. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Why sing? What's singing? Okay, we know that actually in the old, I did this whole talk on the history of music through the church. It starts off, it's actually very melodic. But there's something about singing which engages not just your mind, but your heart and your emotions. Your whole body is involved in singing. And back then, worshiping and singing wasn't just like singing very stiffly, but there's this whole engagement. When we're saying this congregation, part of it is saying, God, when I come to you, I want to come to you with everything, and I want to open myself up to you. Not for my own gain, but first just to say, God, you are worthy of all glory and praise. Now, we know singing is a big deal because when you go to a football match, you see everyone chant, and they sing these massive songs, and there's a great glory in that. So much so that when they make a new stadium, they say, how can we, you know, make that better? How can we accentuate the chants and the singing that go out during the thing? It's odd because half the time those songs and chants are racist, but they're like, how can we make that even louder and better? It's strange, right? When they're doing the new Anfield, they're saying, how can we make the Kop side, like, capture the sound and project it stronger out of the thing so we can be like the 13th, 11th man, 12th man? I don't know how people, 11th, right? That's how many people are on the football pitch. Anyways, whatever. For us as a congregation, we say, okay, well, when I come to this place, I don't come happy. Maybe I come thinking about something else. But when I come here, I want to say, okay, actually, I want to turn from whatever I am to saying, God, I am joyful because of you. I want to praise you. I want to glorify you. I want to look to you and say, you are the rock of our salvation. Now, I love this because if you broke this all down one by one, the first thing, rock of our salvation, is saying, you know, we put our trust in so many funny things on this earth, our house, our property, our finances, our health. To be honest, none of those things are stable or reliable. Our health could be gone just like that. Our mortgage, the financial markets, everything's like gone with the wind. So you put your rock on our salvation and say, you know what? I trust in God. Our relationships, our friendships, they're so unstable. I don't know what to trust in. I trust in God. He is the only rock which I stand. And when you come to church and you're like, actually, yeah, one of the big things is I'm here and I'm looking at God and I'm saying, you know what? There's a lot of trouble and there's a lot of heartache in my life. But I'm going to look to you. I want you to be the rock on which I stand. And that's why when we come and sing, one of the first things we do is we sing is saying, it's like, okay, I want to be reminded again what it is that is important, what matters. And that's why it says, let's come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let's make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. All of this is focusing on thanks, on praise. And it's funny because there's all this research going on now because the atheists really want to prove that somehow they understand it, whereas the Bible has said it already from the beginning. Yeah, if you have a thankful heart, you are a happier person. But God is saying, if you are thankful to someone who is true and is genuine, in other words, God, that thankfulness is real. There's a greater weight to it, a greater depth to it. So be thankful. Come into this place. Think. Make a joyful noise. For the Lord is a great God. And then he starts spelling out what it means. Because the Lord is a great God and great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And the hands form the dry land. In other words, I can trust in him. He is greater than all of this. He is God. Congregation is this time where, if you look in the beginning, it says, let us. Is where we all come from our different places, our different backgrounds, our different struggles, our different issues. Some of us maybe are walking close with God. Some of us barely know him. Some of us are Chinese. Some of us are not. Some of us had great family backgrounds. Some of us didn't. It doesn't matter. It's all saying, well, when we come here, we all come together and say, we all just got to look to you. Let us come together. That kind of unity, that kind of understanding doesn't just happen. I wish you could say every time people come to church, they have that sense. No, it doesn't start off that way. In fact, it starts off more like, okay, well, don't sit too close to me. Oh, great, there's no more seats left. So you have to sit close to me. Or I'm going to sit in my usual seat because I don't like people in my, I like familiarity. But you start realizing, okay, well, maybe it's okay. By the end of the service, there should be this sense of, yeah, actually, we're one because of God, not because of anything that unites us on earth. but because of God. He is our uniting factor. In other words, we are gathering for the glory of God. And maybe this isn't where it is when you first come into this meeting, but by the end, that should be the idea. Yeah, actually, it was so good to have gathered together for God today. Sometimes I joke and I'll say something on Sunday and everyone forgets it by lunchtime and it doesn't make a difference. But actually, I found out that's not actually true. Some people remember stuff. Like I spoke at Ian Ma's church like almost a decade ago and I met some of them again. They said, oh, I remember. You said this at this. I said, what? I don't even remember this. I don't know who you are. But there's a sense of like, actually, there's this memory, there's this thing. And I was thinking, well, why is that important? Is that about me? It's actually about God saying, I want to feed the people so that when they go out into their daily lives, they can face whatever's ahead. Gathering together as a community reminds us that actually we're not alone. We're not isolated. And as God teaches you through the service, it's like, yeah, actually, I know that even though this week might be a fight, might be a struggle, when I come together again on Sunday, I want to be reminded that I congregate and I gather for the glory of God. So the psalm goes on. Verse 6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. The second thing is, after you have this amazing trust and thanksgiving of God, there's this humility. Something through our journey on a Sunday should involve us being humble to start realizing, you know what, I am not the most important person in the world. But God is. God is the most important thing ever. And my life is his. And again, in your spiritual life, some of you be like, okay, I'm a Christian, but I feel like that's too big of a step for me. I want God to lead me. That's fine. God will teach you and instruct you in that way. But for others of us who are more mature, you know how easy it is to get caught up with the way this world runs, that we just forget. There's this importance of saying, actually, during when we come together, either during the word or even if I'm praying over what's happening over the world or we're just gathering together, it's like, yeah, actually, I need to humble myself. It's not about me. This church service isn't about what I can get out of it or if it has a good program for my kids, even though we want to have a good program. It's not about saying, okay, God, if I believe in you, I just want to humble myself before you. The second part about this verse, in verse 7, is for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. In other words, we are God's flock. And sometimes people say, oh, Bert, your flock is really good. Your congregation said, they're not my flock. Okay, I am not. Do not make me a shepherd like that because I am. Jesus is clearly the shepherd. He's the one. I'm part of his flock. But there's this amazing unity in understanding that we are the flock of Jesus Christ, that we belong to him. So if you imagine all of us, we sit here together, we'll say, actually, we all belong to Jesus. We're all his. I'll give you a better example. When you go out into a field and you see a lot of sheep, do you look at all the sheep and say, ah, those sheep, so unique. Every single one is so easily identifiable. No, because they're all the same, right? For us, we're not, unless you're a farmer, they're all the same. They're all just sheep. You know, that one's dirtier than the other one. That's whatever. Bring them in, let's shear off the wool. And I know this is the worst thing is, because in Western society, it's all about individualism. It's all about, I'm unique because I've painted my nails a different color, or I'm wearing a different shirt. I'm very special. I stand out from everything else. The crazy thing about a congregation is actually saying, you know what? Maybe it's not all about me or how good I look or how special I am. But there is this beauty in saying God loves all of us. God loves all of us. And that shift is so important because we're so used to saying God loves me. And he does. He does love you. But there's this even greater thing to say God loves all of us. And in my heart's desire, I want God to love the person next to me more than he loves me. I want God to just pour out his love and blessing and this person to have all the spiritual gifts they can to be used for his kingdom more than me because I love the person next to me. And this is a normal sheep like me, but I just want them to be blessed and loved. Now that's a very different shift. And when we start thinking about how do we teach our congregation to be like this, say like, yeah, we're all kind of the same. We all have blood circulating through our system. But God's love empowers us and it blesses us. And we yearn for that for everyone. And that is a hard thing. And it's a very different way than the world is thinking, right? Because the world is trying to say it's all about your individual. And then you have all these individuals frustrated because they feel alone. So they say, well, all of us who kind of dress and look alike, we will now congregate together and we will be a congregation because we look similar. And there's this problem because you want to have this individuality and at the same time this community. And God is saying, put your community in me and I will use you as individuals to bless one another. And you will see the beauty of the individual shared among the community and the congregation. And that's what we're saying. Can we get to that point of learning how to bless each other and seeing, yeah, fine, we have differences. Some of us are smarter, some of us are not. Some of us make a lot of money, others of us don't. Some of us have lots of kids, others of us can't. But we all love one another. And we're all in the same boat. We humble ourselves and say, let me just learn about you. Let me love you. Let me bless you. We are gathering together as his flock. Jesus, you are our shepherd. Psalm 23 says, right? So we look to you. You lead and you guide us. And the last part of this psalm, which I think I think you might have been familiar with the middle part because that shows up in Psalms. But the last part of the psalm is kind of weird because it says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are people who go astray in their hearts and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And then the psalm ends. And you're like, whoa, okay, that is... You're so happy before. Now you're suddenly so angry. What happened? Oh, are you New Testament in the first part and Old Testament in the bottom part? That's not how it goes, actually. There's this thing here where in the psalmist is saying, yeah, remember when you turned away from God, when you didn't believe he could save you? When your hearts were hard and you said, God has brought us out into the desert to die. Remember that? Remember how you ignored everything he was saying? And God was saying, well, I can't work with the people who won't listen to me. So he said, you cannot come into my presence if you're not going to hear what I'm saying. If you reject me, I cannot force you to rest. It's your typical thing of a child screaming and crying because they're so tired. And you're like, go to sleep. And they don't obey you. They just keep screaming and crying. And you're like, I want you to enter rest. Can you just stop crying and sleep? And this is kind of the same thing where we are kicking a fuss saying, God, listen to us. We want to do this. This is our agenda. This is what we believe. I'm not sure you can help us in this, God. And God is saying, can you just stop and enter my rest? If you calm down for a second and listen to what I have to say, you will know my rest. We're like, I don't know. You take too long, God. I have things to do, people to see. Give me the rest now, and then I'll catch up with you later. Why am I talking about this when we talk about congregation? Because actually, every Sunday, as we gather together as a family, God has something specific and particular he wants to say to us and to you, both individually and corporately. That's why we gather together. This is something different than when you meet with God in your personal time. That is also very important. But in other words, God is always trying to say something to you, but there's something special about when we're together. Where God is saying, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I want you to listen. Don't harden your heart. Don't become proud or say, well, I know better. I've read more books. But actually say, God, I'm part of this flock. I'm just like everybody else. Speak to me. Let me hear what you're saying, and then let me evaluate it. Let me check it against your word. I don't want to just believe blindly, but I want to have an openness in my heart. Not be proud and stubborn. I tell you, okay, when I was younger, by younger I mean in my 30s, between like 0 to 30s. All right, trust me, we're a young congregation, so I can say that. All right, so it's 30, you know, so between 30. Yeah, I was really, 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 really arrogant, really proud. And I would sit and I would judge and I would listen. Part of it is because the church I grew up in was so intellectual. There's so much pride in intellectualism that I couldn't listen to a speaker without judging them. I couldn't go to a worship service without judging the musicians. And it would carry on. I couldn't sit in one of my lectures without judging the lecturer. I couldn't talk to someone without judging them. There's so much pride in my heart to say, like, oh, you have nothing to teach me. You have nothing to offer me that I do not already know. And that kind of arrogance, I realize, is crippling. It turns your heart to stone because you cannot hear anything. You cannot see God's love. Now, there's another guy that I met who is, I mean, to me, I'm like, wow, this guy should be arrogant because he's good looking. He's got really smooth skin. He's pretty smart. He writes. I'm like, oh, this guy. But when you talk to him, he is so eager to hear what you have to say. He wants to learn from you. You talk about a situation, he'll always see the positives, the things that are going well with it, so that he can take that information back and say, yeah, I want to learn how to bless people with what I'm learning here. I was looking at that and saying, but that's amazing. That kind of humility, that kind of not just optimism, but joyful belief that God is at work and can do things. I think that's something beautiful. It's funny because then when you think about God and you think about what he does, how he loves to work with humanity, I mean, God is judge. If he looked at humanity and said, you have nothing to offer me that I cannot do my, and yet he chooses to work with us, work through us, because his faith and his hope in us is great. And not just that, he gives us his Holy Spirit to empower us and to lead us forward in this. What this is kind of saying is, look, when we come to church on a Sunday, when we congregate together, believe that God wants to speak something through you. And maybe it's through the sermon. Maybe it's through the prayer. Maybe it's through the worship. Maybe it's through when people come through the door and you meet someone and you hear their story and you're inspired, you're encouraged, or you're challenged, you're convicted. Maybe someone comes through the door and they need money and you offer it to them and you're saying, wow, this is challenging me in this way. In other words, this time of congregation as believers, God uses this whole process to say, I am God. Humble yourself before me. Listen to me. Hear what I'm saying. And obey. If we can't do it together on Sundays, what hope do you have to do it in the weekdays in your workplaces? I have to say, though, I have been encouraged by our church because after service, I see people praying for each other. I see people chatting about what's going on in their life, not just on the superficial level, but something deeper. I do wish there was a little bit more, like after lunch, you see some new people say, oh, do you want to come to lunch with us? Do you want to extend a little bit further out? But I love seeing people praying for each other. I love seeing people actually say, God, I want your spirit moving in these people's lives. Because it's a reminder of, yeah, isn't that what it's about? If I can't pray for my brother and sister at church, what chance do I have to pray for my coworker at the office? If I don't have courage to pray for them here, isn't my heart too hard? Am I still thinking about myself as opposed to others? Let me extend outward. So we look at this psalm. And we look at this whole kind of thing, if we look at it bit by bit again. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let's come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let's make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For our God is a great God, a great King above everything else. And thank goodness we can trust in him as opposed to the politicians that we have here on earth. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his, and the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness, or any other time you turned your back on him. when your fathers put me to the test and they put me to the proof as though they had seen my work. For 40 years, I loathed that generation and said, they are people who go astray in their heart. And they have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my wrath, my rest. Today, next week, each day, say, God, I want to hear from you. Don't let me become stubborn and hard-hearted. Let me enter your rest. Shall we pray? God, we gather together to give you glory. And we want to come in with the small kind of understanding of glory that we have. But as we humble ourselves and realize that we are your flock, God, we want to gather and we want to hear and respond. At the end, give you more glory. And say, God, you are even greater than I knew. You know, hearing and responding to your word is such a great, great reward. Being with a flock of other people is such a blessing. So, Lord, teach us what it means to congregate. We're not here as just people who want to sing songs and go away, or just, I don't know, just to be here for ourselves to be fed. But we want to say, you know, God, when we congregate, we are with different people. There's something unique about that, something special. We congregate for you. Start teaching our church what it means to be a congregation that has your heart in mind. So, Lord, we come now and we come to worship you. We want to declare that you are a rock and our salvation, that you are a Savior and a King, that you are a rescuer, you are a healer, a redeemer. And as we worship, continue just to minister and speak to us. If during this time you are leading us to pray for one another, then let us move and pray for each other. Let nothing hinder your work. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's come and worship.